Call to order the Operations Committee meeting for the
February. First order is approval of the agenda. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Arquette. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Next is the approval of the minutes of the January 8th meeting. Mr. Forsythe, seconded by Mr. Bakeland. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Moving on into resolutions. We have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the Division of Criminal Justice Services for the 2018-2019 Aid to Defense Grant. And we have, Mr. Leader, seconded by Mr. Akers, and we have James McGann here to present.
Yes, so this grant is a Aid to Defense Grant. It is a grant that assists the county in funding attorneys for violent crimes out of the 18B panel. And that amount is in about $13,700 each year, and we've had it for the last three, I believe.
Any questions, discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. And we'll move on into the county administrator's report.
Okay. The first, I wanted to finish. I think most of you who've checked your email received information related to our water service line break. But I just wanted to take a moment and debrief on the activities there. On Thursday at 11 a.m., Buildings and Grounds was notified that there was a water main, water service line into the county, which is our responsibility, not that of the villages. So we did receive a very prompt response from the village throughout the process, and certainly could not have been successful and had the water restored within 24 hours had we not their help, as well as the help of Duck Brown Construction out of DeKalb. So rapid response was put in place. Certainly the water was shut off. That took some time as well. However, we maintain water in the older section of the courthouse for the duration, because that is serviced by a separate water line entirely coming off of Judson Street. So work continued into the evening. I would say that the last I spoke with staff here, it was about 8:30, and they completed work after a couple tries unsuccessfully with the odd-shaped pipe that was in place. It was approximately 65 to 70 years old. They did locate one Friday morning, had that in place, and the water slowly turned back on by 10:30. That presented separate issues relative to some flooding as water was recalibrated into the bathrooms in the newer section of the courthouse. So we made the decision, I made the decision to release the impacted departments at noon on Friday. There was also a reasonably strong smell associated with the gas coming from the bathrooms and things of that nature. So there was some mild damage that has been mitigated from the water on the main floor flowing into the basement in the bathrooms. That's being taken care of. Water has been restored and all of the cleanup taken place. We are not required to test the water. However, on Friday, with the water turned off, we delivered cases of water to each of the impacted departments. As you know, the courts were closed. And with that being said, I think the decision, Michael Cunningham talked with our state folks from the Department of Health, made the decision, and I think it's a good one, to test the water. That took place this morning. We will find out tomorrow morning before business hours if we're successful, and there should be running water, drinkable water, in the courthouse when the courts return to full service tomorrow morning. Questions?
Mr. Akers.
That is not currently in discussions, but I think we have a number of those kind of lines coming into the building and into the complex in general. But I think it's a good discussion to have. Any other questions on that? And there were approximately 43 employees that were impacted in the newer section of the courthouse that were at work on Friday. Highway was also very helpful. They came, filled the area in with sand and gravel. They have allowed that to settle, and they'll come back either tomorrow or Wednesday, and they'll patch that to return it to proper use and avail access to that back parking lot unrestricted. We do have negotiations scheduled for tomorrow with the sheriff's deputy and the deputy sheriff's supervisors. We did have negotiations last week with Council 82 and Council 82 supervisors, which we'll provide you with an update on that in executive session. The Board of Elections has been completely relocated to their new space, and they have the remainder of their items will be moved over this week. IT's done a great job in Buildings and Grounds to make that space very nice for them. Certainly you'll be stopping in the building at some point, so stop up and visit. It looks very nice. The staff over there has done a great job. Space Committee met today with a long agenda, touching on almost all the buildings here at the county campus, as well as Human Services Center and the satellite offices. Most immediate is that use of the old jail that we've been talking about separately, as well as the courthouse and requests that we've received from the courts for additional square feet for a courtroom. So we're going to meet again. That group had taken somewhat of a hiatus, and we'll be meeting with them on a more regular basis going forward as we work towards resolving some of the issues in both this building and the ripple effects that happen when departments are potentially relocated. Vacancy review, as you've seen this evening, you saw a number from Social Services. The Vacancy Committee reviewed 13, and we held three and have sent through the ones you saw tonight, and you'll see on the finance agenda one resolution recommending the position that was held while that discussion took place for heavy equipment operator. So there were some good discussions with departments. Some of the departments, as I believe is intended, the use of the Vacancy Review Committee to discuss some of the other intangible at the moment, don't have the immediate need, but for the planning of and identification of positions where there may need to be some overlap or there may need to be a different strategy employed to make sure that work can continue. Many, if not all, of our departments are still at a reduced staff number, and so I think it's even more critical that we make sure that those transitions happen when we can and how we can do them in the best way possible. I think that, to go back to Legislator Forsyth's question about the timing, generally speaking, we do two reviews, and those of you who have participated in those meetings, we'll review what the department requested. And I think it's a combination, both of that reimbursement rate as well as the workflow in the department. One of the things departments have also started to do is to run out the timeline associated with the approvals that take place in our month-long process, and if it's held, a 2 or 3 month process. And while that might seem using the math, if you will, it also makes sense to get credit for 30 or 60 days that it's remained vacant in keeping with the board's policy, rather than have immediately present on that request and not have that seen on the other end when it does take 60 days. So we've encouraged departments to really run out those logistics and identify what they believe they can ask for. I do want to mention that on the finance agenda in 2 weeks, we will bring forward with the backup supporting information the legislative agenda. And we've identified 2 separate weeks of ideal times to travel to deliver that agenda as we have the last 2 years. The primary dates we're going to try and schedule for are March 13th through the 15th. The legislature is in session those days. The secondary, depending on scheduling with our representatives, will be March 20th through the 22nd. Obviously, the earlier the better. As we know, we're getting closer and closer to that budget date. But at the same time, if we can make that first week occur, we certainly would like as many legislators that can travel to go with us. I did want to just mention, and certainly most of you are probably aware, last Thursday, Deb Christie's father passed. So there'll be services this Wednesday. So I want to make sure that you are aware of that. Next week, I will be off for a few days, and I will be attending the Association for Towns meeting. And I think that will be particularly important in this shared services environment. I opted not to attend the NYSAC conference this year, and looking at the classes that are available, I think there's a great opportunity also to have a better understanding. Not all of it is relevant just to towns. There's a broad depth of information there, so we'll see how that goes. And in March, to go with that, in March, I'd like to call back together the group of who's been working on the Shared Services Initiative. As you know, that since the last time we met, we've had an election, so there's also some new folks who will be entering the conversation for towns and villages. I think it's important both to bring them up to speed, to solicit their input and information, as well as figure out their positions on the proposal by the governor to make the shared services initiative permanent, and bring them up to speed with the two that we have in place going forward, which, as you'll recall, was the shared fuel purchasing, as well as some type of consolidation efforts for the courts in the county. Any questions?
As far as the vacancy reviews, I know it seems most of the vacancies are a result of retirements or somebody leaving. I would like to, and maybe the information is already there, as far as, is there a trend in positions, you know, if there's, you know, 200 employees in social services, we just added 10 tonight, does that actually increase the total number, or does it decrease the total number, or is it staying the same?
We can bring that to you each time. Tonight, the only positions you created and abolished one in that department, and you netted one to the positive for community services. But we can include that in the summary as well. I think that's important. One of the things that I've been talking with Johnny about is looking at, we've talked some about exit interviews and the importance of getting the information about why folks are leaving, whether it's for better opportunities, whether they're so frustrated with the workload, the variety of reasons, or to better themselves, what have you. I think it would be important, and I've asked her to get some data together about how many people did leave and if we know the reasons for that, so that we can identify in these smaller numbers that we're dealing with in departments now, how we better establish what those reasons are and how we maintain the workforce as long as we can. And one of the conversations that we've been having corporately is about how we maintain the number of employees that we have for as long as possible in terms of the work that they're doing. The workforce that's coming in may not necessarily be interested in staying for that 30-year career that we've seen at the county. And so we have to employ a different strategy in looking at how we work with those folks and how we get the most out of them while they're here. Many of these jobs take more than a year to become at least capable of carrying out the tasks on your own. But we want to make sure that you know that when you're filling these positions, as well as why people are departing when they are.
Any other questions? Is there any old business to come before the committee? Any new business to come before the committee? Mr. Colbert.
Actually, just came to this. I just want to, does the county have any role input on this proposed bypass between Canton and Potsdam?
We've been invited to the meetings, but we haven't been involved in any of the directives that have been involved with the discussion.
So we have no say, no stake in this at all yet?
We have not.
Okay. Thank you.
We do have a need for executive session for negotiations, litigation, personnel, and appointments. Mr. Timmons. Seconded by Mr. Colbert. All in favor?
Aye.
We will be going into executive session.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Johnny, want to come down? We'll do that first.